Let me pray for us as we continue. Lord, thank you for today. And really, it was meeting some friends and family. It's always great, you know, when the holiday season kind of comes, especially starting with Thanksgiving. And as we kind of, especially as Christians, as believers, we are able to turn our attention even more so to you. But as we turn our eyes to you, you always remind us to turn our eyes to other people too, the people that you care about. And so that's what we want to do even this morning as we start this new series, really a continuation of what we've been talking about, even from our past ones. So, Lord, speak to our hearts. That's what we want. I ask that you touch our hearts, and Lord, help me to be able to speak clearly and that you would use these words from your word to touch people's lives. Amen. Well, some of you know a little bit about me. One of the things you may or may not know is I have one sister. And as I was growing up, my parents, we didn't go to church. My parents didn't follow the Lord. I didn't go to church growing up. But through a friend, you'll hear a bit later, I came to know Christ, came to accept Christ into my life as my Lord and Savior, age 16. My sister was a bit younger, and she was actually about 7 years younger. And after becoming a Christian, I remember I was 16 years old at that time, and I was praying. I remember just started praying for my family, praying for my parents, praying for my sister often. And I remember one day, it was a couple years, I think I was a senior in high school. I can't remember the exact time. But I remember praying for my sister and then coming home one afternoon. My sister was there. She was, I think, in maybe sixth or seventh grade. And I was sharing with her. I began to share with her. I'd been reading my Bible, and she asked what I was reading. And I began to share with her about my faith in Jesus. And I shared about how the Lord, Jesus had died on the cross for our sins. And I asked her, as I explained, I said, do you believe that? Would you want to pray and receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior? And she said she did. And I was like, okay, now what do I do? And so we just prayed. I just had her kind of pray and ask Jesus to forgive her. And it was at that moment that she received Christ as a middle schooler. And it was amazing. It was, you know, kind of, I think maybe the first person I've ever, as they say, kind of helped lead to the Lord. But, you know, she began to go to youth group when she got into high school. I remember going to high school. I went to college, and she went to youth group. But then as she became an adult, she kind of stopped going to church like a lot of people did. Or, you know, kind of after you get out of high school, you get out of the routine, and she stopped going to church. But I remember for many years, Mel and I got married, I'd pray. I prayed literally for years and years for her, as well as for my parents who hadn't yet made a commitment. And I was just praying that she would come back and walk with the Lord. She believed, she still believed in Jesus, she said, but she just didn't really walk. Well, after years of praying, not too long ago, I can't remember exactly, but maybe 6 years ago or so, my sister, Tanya, met a young man her age named Richard. Richard was a Christian. And they met through mutual friends, and he began to share his faith with her. And through that, she came back and rededicated her life to the Lord. Not only did she come back to the Lord, but she also met her new husband, and they got married. And now they have a daughter and a younger son. Their daughter is attending youth group and is beginning to have their faith passed down to their children as well. Why do I share this? Well, number of reasons you'll see throughout this series. But first of all, the reason is because God has a plan. See, God has a plan to touch people's lives. God has a plan to reach other people with his love. And one of the ways that he reaches people is through you and me. Okay? He wants us to show his love. He wants us to share about Jesus and about how he loves us, how he died on the cross. Basically what we call how he came to, we say, save us. Save us from what? Well, we've talked about from our own sins, from our selfishness, from our rebellion against God. And God says, I have a plan. I want people to see my love. I want them to see, as we're coming into Christmas, what Christmas is all about. Why did I send my son Jesus here? And he says, I want to use you. He wants to use us. See, God wants to change the world one person at a time. We think of changing the world. We think that's impossible. It's so big, literally billions of people. But you know what? He says, I want to touch one person at a time. Unfortunately, many of us who are Christians, many of us who've gone to church for a while, we kind of can get into a rut, and we kind of become content coming to church. We become content singing these great songs that a worship team plays. We become content just, you know, fellowshipping, enjoying some great food and getting to know one another. And those things are all good. They're certainly not bad, right? Those are actually part of what it means to be a follower of Christ. But when that becomes the focus, the only focus, then we're getting sidetracked. It's not ultimately part of God's plan that we only focus on ourselves. Though some of you were here a few weeks ago, remember Jesus talked to the church at Laodicea. And one of his challenges, kind of one of the more challenging sermons maybe I've given, he said, Jesus said this, no more, anybody know, no more? All right, so some people listen. No more lukewarm. You remember that, those who were here? No more lukewarm. In other words, you know, it's easy to be lukewarm, just kind of go through the motions. He doesn't want us to be complacent. He doesn't want us just to go through the motions. And last week, we challenged each of us, myself, were challenged, where Jesus says, God says to us, you know what? You're not only to come to church, you're also to be sent. Let's see if you guys remember. This is a big test, but we mentioned a couple times. You ready? If you remember here from last week, we are sent to, oh, yes, all right. Woo-hoo. That's really the jumping point from our last series on here. We are sent to love, right? That's part of God's plan for reaching people. He is sending us. As we're going to see from now till the middle of January, and actually our Christmas series here in the end of December, we're going to take a two-week break. But really, as you'll see, this whole series goes together. You're going to see that God's plan is us. God's plan is to use you, you and me. And I believe that God has placed you right where you are for a purpose. And he has you where you are because that's where he wants you right now. He wants to use you right where you are. You see, we're going to see that Jesus designed, taught, most importantly, modeled God's plan for his church, which is God wants to use us. God's plan of showing the world Jesus through us, through those who have Jesus, through those who love him and follow him. And as we saw last week, we are sent to love. And you know, one of the greatest ways that we can have a touch on other people's lives is through a changed life. It's through a changed life. We're going to look at one person whose life was pretty radically changed. But you know what? His story, I hope, is also your story, even though it's differently. So look at Mark chapter 5. If you haven't turned there. Mark chapter 5, 1 through 8. And then we'll look at 15 to 17 as well. So look at Mark chapter 5. Let's start 1 through 8. It says, they went, talking about disciples and Jesus, they went to across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. Interesting. This man lived in the tombs and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and the hills, he would cry out and he would even cut himself with stones. It's crazy. When he saw Jesus from a distance, this man ran and fell on his knees in front of Jesus. He shouted at the top of his lungs, "What do you want with me, Jesus? Son of the Most High God, swear to me that you won't torture me." For Jesus was saying to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Skip down to verse 15. When they came to Jesus, when other people saw what happened, when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Jesus comes to the other side of the lake, or as we might say, to the other side of the tracks. You know that phrase, right? Where it's kind of people who are different than you live on the other side of the tracks. Well, you know what? They cross the lake there, Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Galilee, and they come to an area that is mostly Gentile, okay? Of course, Jesus and his disciples were Jewish. And kind of for most Jews, they didn't hang out with Gentiles. But Jesus says, you know what? I got a plan. And they cross over there, and they come over to this area, this Gentile area. And the first person, at least it seems like maybe one of the first people they meet here, is this demon-possessed man. Now, most of you, maybe all of you have never seen probably a demon-possessed man or person. Maybe you have. But as the description you see, it's pretty radical, this particular situation, you know. But we see here that Jesus comes and he touches this man. It's interesting. This guy had a reputation. He was certifiably crazy, right? I mean, cutting yourself, living out by yourself. They actually tried to put chains on him to restrain him from hurting himself, maybe hurting others. But Jesus comes. It's interesting. It says that first of all, he cast out that demon. And he brings this healing to this man. Not necessarily a physical healing this time, right? But a spiritual healing. People came and they saw him dressed. I mean, he was actually dressed normal, you know, like everybody else. It says he was in his right mind. He was making sense. He was talking and conversing with people. But it's interesting, the response of the people. Do you see that? The people were upset. Now, I don't think they were upset about the man. Actually, there's a portion we skipped there. I did it purposely. But see, what happened is when Jesus cast out these demons, okay, they went into a bunch of pigs. And it says that they ran over a cliff and they basically all died. It says there were literally like thousands of them. There's kind of a stampede. You know how it goes? One starts running, they all start running. And, you know, for Jews, pigs, you know, were off limits. But for Gentiles, I mean, for somebody, for a group of people, that was their income. And they saw what Jesus was doing. They weren't sure of who this Jesus was. Who is this Jesus? What's going on? If he's going to hang around here and keep doing these crazy things, we don't want him around here. And so they pleaded with him, said, we don't want you here. You need to leave. Your kind's not welcome here, right? But interesting, look at the response of the man who had been delivered. Look back at verse 18. Look at verse 18 to 20, right? Yeah. It says, as Jesus was getting into the boat, he said, okay, I'll leave. The man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go to your people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And so the man went and began to tell in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. All the people were amazed. Jesus wants him to stay there. Why? He wants him to go and to tell others what Jesus had done for him. I believe this is something that Jesus wants all of us to do who have experienced his love and salvation, his deliverance. He wants us to share what the Lord has done for us. Now, the people didn't want to hear from Jesus, okay? They saw what he did. They're not sure about him. They didn't want to hear from Jesus. They didn't like what happened, okay, in their region. They didn't like what happened to the pigs. They're not so sure about even Jesus' message. You know, many people, when they first hear about Jesus, and sometimes maybe they come to a church service, and maybe it's a sermon that, you know, is kind of meant for the church people, but they're there, and they're kind of like, man, that's a pretty radical message. You know, we've heard some where Jesus says you're supposed to pick up your cross, die to yourself, and live for him. Well, whoa, if you're brand new to church, like, what does that mean? And they, you know, sometimes we hear teachings of Jesus that are pretty hard to hear at first. And they didn't want to hear that. It went against what they were used to. It went against what they believe, right? A lot of times, stuff that we say in church goes against what some people believe, their values. And so it rubs them the wrong way. It goes against what they're used to. But Jesus, you know what Jesus does? Jesus never gives up on people. Even though they said, you know, we don't want anything, you need to leave. Jesus never gives up on people. He doesn't give up on your family. He doesn't give up on your friends. Instead, you know what he does? He said, okay, you don't want me right now? Well, I'll send you them. I'll send you your friend, your relative. He sends people a life that's been changed, hopefully yours and mine. A life that, because we're friends, we're family, it can't be ignored. I mean, they may not always like it, but they can't ignore it, right? The man who had been demon-possessed, he wanted to go with Jesus. He just wanted to go where it was easy and, you know, let's, you know, leave all my bad stuff behind. Jesus said, no, I want you to stay. I want you to go to those that know you. They know the real you. They're going to see the change in your life. See, that's a major part, as we're going to see in this series, that's a major part of God's plan of reaching people is you, is me, is our changed lives, the way that God is working our lives. Not perfect, okay, but changed. Those who've received Christ's touch, his love. And he says he wants us to share that. And well, there's all kinds of different ways. Well, you might say, well, I'm timid. I'm not outgoing. I can't share. No, it's just for everybody. It's for introverts, extroverts, and anywhere in between. Okay? God made you the way he made you. And he wants to use you for how he made you. That's what he wants from you and me. You know, I bet many, if not all of you, have been touched by someone in your life that you know, that you were close to, a family member, a friend, a neighbor, someone you work with, someone you go to school with, who through their life has influenced your life, right? I bet it was someone that you knew well. Like I said, a family member, a friend, someone. For me, it was my next door neighbor and friend, Danette. It's interesting. I just saw her the other day. It was pretty cool. Actually, I was having lunch with Bill Brown, and she works at the Donald Cafe, and I hadn't seen her for a long time. She's just, you know, a teenager. We were both 16. We were friends, grew up, you know, knowing each other. She said, "Do you believe in God? You need to come to church with me. You need to come to youth group with me." I thought, I don't know. I don't really, never gone to church before, but you're my friend. You're kind of cute. Let's go. She was a big part of God's plan for my life. She didn't know that at the time. She was just inviting a friend to youth group. But through her, the Lord worked in my life. Jesus told this man, we say, go to your people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how much mercy he has shown to you. Your people. Another version says, go to your family. The King James says, go to your friends. This word that's translated sometimes differently is translated differently for a reason. Sometimes it's people, sometimes it's friends, sometimes it's family, sometimes it's called extended household. It's one word. You're going to hear this word a lot. You might get sick of it. I hope not, because it's going to be a great word. It's the word oikos. Oikos. Now you know Greek, okay? You're a Greek scholar. You know oikos. It means basically relationships. Relationship. It's a big part of God's plan for reaching is our oikos. Now for some of us, especially those of us who've been going to church for a while, for others, I mean, if you're brand new, this may not be, you know, the best example for you, but for many of us, we might need to this morning start putting on some new glasses or a new prescription in the way that we see the world, the way that God wants us to see the world. You know, a number of years ago, probably at least 10 years ago, I was driving, you know, at night, and I'd be looking ahead, and I'd see these signs out there, and I'd think they'd say one thing, and then I would get closer, and I'd say, oh, that's not what it said. You know, it'd be blurry, and think it'd say, you know, whatever, 2 miles to home, and it actually said 20 miles or whatever it was. And I realized I needed what? Glasses. I needed something to be able to see clearly what was being portrayed out there. And you know what? This series might require you to change some lenses on the way that you see life as a Christian. Okay? How you see other people. To realize that Jesus has a plan for use us to use you might be a new lens. You might think, well, no, that's somebody else's job. I don't know the Bible good enough. I haven't been a Christian long enough, or, you know, I can't quote John 3:16 or whatever it is you think you have to do. See, Christians, young and old, we need to be challenged to go beyond kind of the preoccupation of our culture, which is what? Always about me. It's kind of, you know, our culture generally is, you do whatever you think is best. I even saw, you know, I have to admit, men, don't hold this against me, but I've been watching some Hallmark movies with my wife, you know. I mean, after 20 hours of football, I had to do something to make up for it, okay? Shh, don't tell my wife, that's it. But anyway, so, you know, the Hallmark movies, they're good, you know, nice. I enjoy them. I even shed a tear once in a while. But there was one we watched, I don't know, yesterday or the day before. And, you know, it was basically about, you need to do whatever is best for you. It's all about you, 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 you know, me. Well, that's not the message of God. He says, I want you to put on some other glasses. I want you to see people through my eyes, that it's not just about you. Yeah, you're part of it, but it's about other people. I have a plan for you to touch other people with me. And one of the biggest ways that God's going to change people is through our oikos, okay? Through our relationships, our family, our friends, your people. I love that in the NIV it says your people. It is people that you know, people that God has connected you to, that you shared life together with. And it's a hodgepodge of people, right, in your life. I bet you if you just start thinking about different people, they're not all the same, you know? They're all quite different, but you're connected with them through this relationship. They're different kinds of people with different kinds of needs. But God, I believe, has placed you strategically right there to be that touch in their life. Your oikos will probably include some family members, some friends. Maybe it's somebody you work with, somebody you go to school with. Maybe it's your kids, friends, parents, right? You hang out a lot with them, especially if you're in sports. You kind of hang out with these people. and many others, right? Your child's teacher. It's anyone that you have a growing relationship with. And it's these people that God wants to use you to touch and to reach with his love, with his message. So here's a question you should be asking yourself, maybe. You think, okay, you showed us one verse that talks about oikos. Are there any others? I mean, you're building this kind of, this high, whole idea on one verse? No. Does it talk about oikos in other places? Yeah. Let me share briefly just some of the other passages. Matter of fact, in the weeks to come, we're going to look at these more specifically, some of them, of looking at particular people that God used to touch their oikos. Let me share one. Cornelius in Acts 10:24. Cornelius was a Gentile. Okay, and God had sent him a dream. He sent Peter a dream. And it says this in verse 24. It says, the following day he, Peter, arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, because God said he's coming. That's how you expect him. And he had called together his relatives and his close friends. Acts 11:14, just a little bit later, it says, Peter, he will bring you a message through which you and your oikos, household is what it says there, I think, in the NIV, but your oikos will be saved. Cornelius brought friends and relatives to come and hear the message of Jesus that he had heard in this dream that God said, I'm showing you, I'm bringing it to you. Interesting. We'll look at that in more detail in the weeks to come. Lydia, in Acts chapter 16, she heard the message of Jesus from Paul, and she shared it with her oikos, who also came to Christ. Acts 16:14-15, the Lord opened Lydia's heart to respond to Paul's message. She and the members of her oikos were baptized. A number of other people that she had brought, friends, family, her people, heard about Jesus, and they were baptized as well. The jailer, some of you know the story of the jailer. If not, we'll look at that in a few weeks. Acts 16, he was saved as well as his oikos. Matthew, one of Jesus' disciples. You remember after he met Jesus, one of the first things he did on his own, I don't even think Jesus necessarily told him to do this. He went, he said, you know what? I need my friends. I need my other fellow tax collectors, these bums over here just like I was. I need them to come to my home and meet Jesus. So he invites these, you know, I said sinners. He invites his sinners. That's what we all are, right? He invited his friends to come and to meet Jesus. They were part of his oikos, his relationships. These are just a few examples. We'll look at some others in the weeks to come. But these are some examples, and we see the lives that God changes in our oikos, in our family, in our relationships, in our friends, that not all at once, necessarily. Some of these examples are what happened right after somebody came to Christ, but sometimes it happens much later. But each one, we have an opportunity to touch people, touch them, touch their needs, and see that God can touch their needs. And that we've been placed there. God has placed us to meet some of those needs, to demonstrate his love and his grace to those around us. And many times we do a great job of that as a church, which is great. You know, we just had a member of our church that had surgery, and a number of people made meals and sent, took meals to their family. But you know what? What about when your friend who's not in church has surgery? Your response should be the same thing. Maybe even get other people from our church to show that kind of love to them, or whatever circumstance, to show his grace and his love through you, through me. The author of the book that we're encouraging you to read, it's kind of a supplement. We're not going, I mean, the series isn't directly through that, but it's certainly an important part of it. I encourage you to read it. If you want to buy one or order one, there's some back there. There's five, the first five that go, then we'll order some more if you want. But one of the author suggests, and this is, you know, it's kind of done through a bunch of research. He's been doing this for a while, but the whole idea is, you know what? God has placed most likely at least 8 to 15 people in your life that are part of your inner oikos, your inner circle of close relationships, your friends, your acquaintances that you're building that friendship with. People who, and those people that don't know the Lord, it's actually bigger, but of 8 to 15 people who don't know God yet, and that he's placed in your life. And these 8 to 15 people are the ones that he has kind of put on you to pray for, as we're going to talk about in a couple weeks. Talk right now, we need to pray first, pray for them. But also they are part of your influence, the opportunity for you to just live your life in front of them and help them to see what does it look like to be a follower of Jesus. And God is the one that ultimately is preparing their heart, but he wants to use you to show his grace. See, that's part of God's plan for reaching people. But something, I'm talking here to, you know, to our church now, something he wants us to realize that it goes, this whole idea of God's plan for us goes beyond just coming to church, okay? It's got to go beyond just coming to church, beyond church, as I say, okay? And I think of church that way, just coming to a building here like we're doing this morning. It's way beyond that. Because too many people who go to church, and hopefully not most of us here, but many go to church and think, you know what? I've done my thing, right? I've gone to church. I listened to a message. I sang some songs. And many times, even then, we do that and think, oh, I did it. Or sometimes, actually, we go there and we go, man, that wasn't as good as I thought it was. Man, Pastor Jim's sermon didn't really touch me this morning. The songs, man, I've heard those before. Or, you know, they're off a little bit. Maybe I should go find another church. I mean, because I need my needs met, right? I mean, I need to grow. I need to be fed. I mean, I, right? Now, there's nothing wrong of finding a good church. Hopefully, we're one of them. There's a lot of great churches out there. But you know, when we get in that mindset, it's kind of that consumer mentality. It's kind of like what we do on Black Friday, right? Right? We go and look for the best deal. Whoever's the best deal, that's where we're going to go. That's okay when you're shopping for physical stuff, you know, the new whatever, TV or microwave or clothes or whatever. But it's not necessarily the best way to look for a church, right? Because God looks at what? The heart. There's a lot of churches out there that have better bands than we do. Better preaching, certainly. But you know what? Maybe they don't preach the gospel. Maybe they don't preach from the Bible. They just preach and share what they think is best. God's message to us is not, it's not all about us. Now, many people agree with that. That, you know what? Okay, you know what? We are to reach out to others. Well, really not we, but Pastor Jim. Pastor Jason, I mean, that's their job. They get paid to do that. So they're the ones that are supposed to go out and they need to reach out to our community. You know, I mean, that's what they're called to do, right? It's really the pastor's job. You know what? No. That's not actually God's plan. Now, we are part of that. I mean, it's Jason's responsibility and mine, but it's just as much yours. You see, it's not about this whole idea of coming to church and it's the pastor's job to do it. Now, some people in society have that mindset. Well, that's the pastor's job. See, when the church, when I say church now, when God's people are forced out of this kind of what we might call traditional pastor-focused emphasis and realize that it is a relationship-focused ministry that we're supposed to have. Or may I say oikos-focused relationships that we are to have. That's how God uses other people. Now, he may use me after you invite your friend or your family member. Maybe they start coming to church after you shared with them or invited them. And then God can use me. But I'm usually the second or third or fourth person down the line. We're going to see a lot more. If you just hope that Pastor Jim, Pastor Jason do it all, we might be able to touch the people around us. But we're missing out on a whole big group of people that are the ones that God has placed in your life. Matter of fact, this is why we're seeing so many more people, literally thousands and thousands of people coming to know Jesus in India, in Africa, in South America, and especially in China. Why? Because you know what? They don't even have pastors, many of them. They don't need pastors. They don't have physical church buildings. They don't even have a school to meet in like we do. They meet in homes. Sometimes, matter of fact, it's even illegal in some of those places. And yet we're seeing more people come to Christ. Why? Because they realize, well, it's not about coming to church. It's not ultimately about the pastor. It is about each one of us. God uses each one of us. You're as important as I am. We need to help one another see with new glasses. That's the new glasses, to see that God wants to use you, if you're a follower of Jesus, to be his instrument in the most effective area that you can do ministry, which is those that God has placed in your life, your oikos, okay? Your relationship. See, that's exactly what Jesus had in mind with this man whose life was changed. Remember, we talked about him? He wanted him to go to his people, to his oikos is that word. So here's the question, did he do it? Did he make a difference? Well, let's look. Mark chapter 5, look at verse 20. We read it earlier, I believe. It says, so the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis, that's his area that he lived, North Marion, we could put in there for us, how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. He did what Jesus told him to do. which was to go, right? He went to his oikos. He went to his family. He went to his friends. He went to his people. Did he make a difference? Great question. Look ahead a couple of chapters. If you want, you can turn there. Mark chapter 7, verse 31. It says this. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon. These are other areas. And then he went down, back down to the Sea of Galilee into the region of Decapolis. Jesus had been gone a while. He went and did ministry in a bunch of other places. Many think it was about 8 months that he was gone. And he comes back to Decapolis. He comes back there to the place where he had left one man. Right? One man whose life was changed. Remember what they had done the last time Jesus was there? Anybody remember? What did they ask of Jesus? Leave. Get out of here. We don't want you. And so he did, but he came back. Remember I said he always comes back? He came back. So to get the rest of the story, what happened? You actually have to go to Matthew, the book of Matthew, because as you know in the Gospels, they often tell the same story, tell it differently or give a little more detail. Matthew 15, 30 and 31. It says this. Great crowds came to Jesus, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the dumb, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and Jesus healed some of them. And they praised the God of Israel. Matter of fact, in Matthew 15, it says, do you know how many people came? 4,000. 4,000, at least 4,000, because he fed at the feet of the 4,000 that happened after that. Months earlier, they said, we don't want you here. Months later, 8 months later, all of a sudden he comes back, and a crowd, a huge crowd, comes to see him. Why? Well, probably lots of reasons, but I believe, most people believe, one of the big reasons is because of this one man. He was the starting point, right? He went to his family. He said, you know me. You knew where I was. I was literally out of my mind. I was possessed. And Jesus saved me. He changed me. And then he went to some friends. And he went to other people, his neighbors. And he shared with them, and some of them knew this, and they said, if that's what Jesus did for you, then man, he's got to be God. He's got to be real, the real thing. And they believed. You know what they did? They went, and they told some of their friends and their family, said, you got to come and see this Jesus. Look what he did. He did this for my friend, for my relative, for my neighbor, for the guy I work with. And many believed, and they went and shared. And you know, it's kind of like one of those, you know, the dominoes fall, just keep going. In Matthew 15, what we see is when one life's changed, we have the opportunity to see many lives changed. We see other people's lives changed. Why? It starts with one person. This demon-possessed man that Jesus healed and changed, and he shared, what did he do? He went and shared what the Lord had done, and he shared about the mercy of God. If God can have mercy on this guy, then he can certainly have mercy on everyone, right? He went to his oikos, and they heard, and many of them, some of them believed, if not, many of them wanted to come and see Jesus when he came back. And they came, and many of them saw him. Some were even healed. And it says many believed in the God of Israel, the God of the Bible. Their lives were changed, reached with the good news of Jesus. Why? Because of this one man. You know, people seldom come to Christ simply because of just solely of a pastor's sermon. Right? Or the great songs that the worship team says, or the prayer. Now, those are all pieces, can be certainly pieces, but you know what? Christ actually uses you and me. He uses our personal relationships. Most, virtually every person that comes to Christ made a decision because of a relationship they had with someone who knows Jesus. Someone who prayed for them. Someone who demonstrated a life of following Jesus. Not perfect, but they said, you know what? I'm going to live for Jesus. Someone who cared for them. Someone who answered their questions. Someone who invited them to church. Most likely a combination of all of those. Do you know that 95%, there's kind of a thing out there, it's been told over and over, 95% of people come to Christ primarily through the influence of their oikos, the people in their lives. Let me just do a quick little survey here. Let me ask you this question. Who of you came to Christ or were invited to church by someone who was a family member, a friend, someone you work with, you went to school with, someone that you have a personal relationship with? How many of you came to Christ or came to church with somebody that you knew? Raise your hand. Somebody you knew invited you, okay? I look around, it's like, I don't know if all the way hands, but look, close to 95, maybe 90. I don't know. I didn't do this. It was basically very high if you looked around. Somebody that you knew shared with you about the Lord or invited you to come to church. It's rare that someone will come just on their own, out of the blue. Now, it happens. There's people out there. They turn on the TV, for instance, maybe, and they see, you know, some kind of ministry on TV, and they do that. Or God just speaks to their heart and says, you need to go to church. So there's people like that. But oftentimes, there's probably somebody behind that that's been praying for you. Maybe it's a grandma. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe it's a friend, whatever. We naturally have more opportunities to share Christ with those that we're actually around, that we have a relationship with. That's God's plan for reaching people. We see others' lives being changed because God uses us. I shared about my neighbor, right? My friend and neighbor, Danette. I shared about my example of sharing with my sister. And then Richard, her husband, future husband, coming and sharing. Some of you are here today because of a family member, because of a friend. Someone who shared the Lord with you. Somebody who invited you to church. Someone who's a part of your orchestra. Someone that you go to school with. Somebody that's in your kid's class that has built a friendship with you. All these things to show Jesus' love. You know, we heard last week from Dawn, when she was baptized, shared about her mother-in-law having that influence. Russell shared about his family having that influence on him, that he would trust the Lord. All of that is part of God's plan. God uses those that are close to us. So here's the question. Has he changed your life, first of all? Is he changing your life? Has he changed your life? It doesn't need to be, you know, dramatic, maybe like that demon-possessed man, right? But every story is powerful because it's your story. It's because God touched your life. He's forgiven you. He's called you his child. And if that's the case, Jesus says, go to your people. Go to your oikos. And share with them. Show them. And we're going to look at that in the weeks to come. What does that mean? Share, show. How can I do that? I'm kind of nervous about that. Well, that's all right. We all are. Put on those new glasses, though. Start this morning. Maybe put on some new glasses to realize the people that God's put in your life. And maybe the first thing you want to do is just start praying for them. And then look for some opportunities to minister to them. And to realize that God wants to show them the same love that he's shown to you. It's about being sent to... It's about being sent to love, showing Christ's love, being used so that others can see Jesus. Now, here's something you need to know. It's not your responsibility. It's not my responsibility to change someone. We cannot change somebody. All we can do is share and show and pray. God's the one that changes people's lives, but he does place us there to show that love, to be in those people's lives, to care for them. The desire for others to know the amazing love, the amazing grace, the amazing salvation that Jesus gives to us. You know, as we're going to be sharing later on, the amazing story of Christmas, of why Jesus came to this earth. Because we know the way, the truth, and the life, right? We went through a series, three-month series, that Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. We don't want to just know that here in our own hearts and minds. We want to share that. We want other people to know Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life for them as well. And so over the next few weeks, we want to encourage one another, see how God can use us to touch our oikos, right? To touch our relationships that we have as well. I hope that you look forward to this, and that even now you'll be praying and encouraging those around you. Let's pray.